Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of this crazy life we live in. So happy to have a special guest with us today.
Special friend.
Is he your friend? I didn't
he's
know.
He's my friend. I don't know about he's my friend.
Okay. All right. You can introduce him then.
Well, Dr. Lillis is a profound friend of ours.
Profound friend?
Yes, he's a he's a deep friend of ours.
Those are weird.
I know the
profound friend,
the beloved Dr. Lillis.
Okay.
So you need to talk about his academic.
Okay.
You know.
All right. So he's the co-founder of the
I just like him because he's a son of God and he's just awesome and he's
right.
You know, he's given over to prayer and
yeah.
He's really, really nice.
Most of the time. Know. If you hack him off, he gets a little tough.
I know, right.
Okay.
Okay.
I've never seen that side of him, but it's legendary from what I hear. So anyway, Dr. Lillis is the co-founder of the Avalon Institute. It wouldn't exist without him. Neither would the High Calling Priestly Formation work that we do to prepare men for seminary or formation in seminary as spiritual directors or post-ordination formation that we do. Dr. Lillis has given his life to the priesthood and has done amazing work as the academic dean of three seminaries and the author of a number of books. This latest is called Name for Glory, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, Identity and Mission, which you can find on the spiritualdirection.com website. And he and I wrote a book called Living the Mystery of Merciful Love and Others. So welcome back to the show, Dr. Lillis.
It's a real joy to be with you. Yeah, we have a great friendship. Not only, you know, has the Lord brought us together by faith, but we've also been through a lot of adventures together through the years. And that has a way of deepening friendships, a kind of fellowship with each other and in mission and in suffering and good stuff of life.
You know, one gift that you've given me and Stephanie that's been profound, I'm immediately overwhelmed with emotion as I'm of gratitude to you, is you helped us to learn how to lead pilgrimages. You helped us to learn how to be pilgrims and then to lead pilgrimages. And I would have never thought, I mean, because I'm not, as Stephanie always points out, when we got married, I'm like, look, I've never explored the extremities of the city we live in. Why would I get in a plane and fly thousands of miles away? And she's just shaking her head like, oh Lord, she loved to travel. I hated it. But you gave us this great gift, and man, have we seen conversion after conversion after conversion, healings. We had three physical healings, one in France when we were with you, one caused a conversion or a reversion.
Three in France.
I said three in France.
Oh, okay.
One caused a conversion,
okay,
which was Raymond, or kind of a reversion back to his faith because he saw the power of God. And it's really amazing. By the way, just before we jump in, so we're going to be talking today about mental prayer. And then I got to just say something about the pilgrimage stuff. Mental prayer, the beginnings of mental prayer. What is it? You know, if you've never heard of it or you don't know how to do it, or you're just like, I don't get it, this is the show for you. But before we jump into that, Dr. Lillis and I wrote the book Living the Mystery of Merciful Love, which is 30 days with Thérèse of Lisieux. But we're going to be going back to France. What are the dates, Stephanie?
June 24th through July 4th of 2026.
Yep.
And we will be doing Lourdes, Rudebach, Thérèse Lisieux,
Ars. It's going to be amazing.
It is. It's an amazing pilgrimage. We did it years ago with Dr. Lillis.
Yeah.
So you just don't want
to
miss
shrine
out on this.
To Thérèse is mind blowing in terms of the beauty of it, but even that it was recently built, you know, within the last 100 years.
Oh, it's like the size of a football field.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And her presence in Lisieux is
amazing.
Just
yeah,
it's palpable.
So if you're interested in going on that, we have some seats. We had to switch, you know, from Israel because obviously we had a planned trip to Israel. So we switched it to France, and head out to spiritualdirection.com, check on the events page, and you can register that. We still have some seats open. A bunch of the people, I should say, transferred from the Israel trip to the France trip, but we do have some seats open. So check that out. Yeah. All right. So Dr. Lillis, in the last retreat we had, Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreat, you know, really good, smart folks who come to these retreats, very devout. And a number of them are just like, what? You keep talking about mental prayer. And I could just feel them. They're leaning in and squinting like, what is it again? What is this thing again? Why is it so powerful? So help us dive into these kinds of questions.
Well, you know, the mental prayer, this is something that all Catholics should practice. It's actually mentioned in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. There's several paragraphs that unfold this expression of prayer. And they start with a mystic who's a close friend of yours, who I think has guided you profoundly in your spiritual life. And that is Teresa of Avila. Teresa de Jesus is the doctor of the church. They start out with her to explain what mental prayer is, and they say mental prayer, they quote her as saying, mental prayer is nothing other than a conversation with God, a conversation with the God who loves you very specifically. And they're quoting her teaching, and that's the foundation for everything, or catechetically, that the church has to say about this particular expression.
So the question, so I could just playing the person on the other end of the conversation. So I get how to talk to my wife, not really well, but I'm working on it. That's why I'm at this retreat, right? You know, so I get that. And I understand when you say prayer is a conversation with God, but what does that really mean? Like, so he's a person, I'm a person, we're different kinds of persons. He's a divine person, if you will. I'm purely human, merely human. How does that happen?
Well, you know, this is something in human history that the people throughout the centuries and millennia have always sought and tried to speak to God. But when Jesus, the Word of the Father, this eternal Son of the Father, became flesh and dwelt among us, the one thing we know he did in the scriptures, if you read the scriptures, all the fathers of the church teach this, he was a man of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When we're baptized into his mystery, that mystery of prayer that he lived out during his earthly ministry is, we're baptized into that mystery too. You know, what makes a conversation possible? Well, we have a word to say. God gave us his word to say back to him. And he gave us this word to save us from sin, but also so that we could have a real relationship with him in forever and in eternity. The importance of this, I can't even emphasize it enough, because unless we receive Jesus by faith and accept him and believe in him, our ability to have access to the heart of the Father is impeded. But because we have, you know, we've been baptized, we believe him, we're going to Holy Communion, we're going to church. Now that word is alive in us, and it makes it possible. It's the foundation of our whole prayer life. And it's a powerful prayer life because it actually accesses the very heart of God.
You know, it brings to mind, I just recently spoke at the Blessed Is She conference with my friends over there in Phoenix. And one of the things that came up for me that I had not thought about as I was trying to convey this very reality to the attendees was I remembered that when I gave my heart over to the Lord. The moment of breaking what basically was my own alabaster jar in front of the tabernacle and saying to the Lord, you know, I've been told you're there. Take over my life and I will do whatever you ask. That was the first time that I had actually spoken to God as a person, as my God, as, you know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It was using the desires of my heart, speaking from my heart to him, present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the tabernacle.
But even though you didn't really know what you were doing.
I didn't know what I was doing. And that's the emphasis that I'm making is the practical thing is we can speak heart to heart. We can just take the aches and the desires of our heart and literally just use those words that have been placed on our heart by him, because that desire is his desire, that we can converse with him, that we lay down our lives for him, and say, I want to know you. I want to get to know you. I want to be known by you. I want to have a relationship by you. I want to pour myself out and receive whatever you have for me that's good and for my good and the good of those that I love, right? So that's that heart of the heart. That's the crying out. Because I think in the most practical sense, sometimes folks can say, yeah, but how do I do that? And it's the same as talking to you at my rawest moment and going, I just really need you right now, mm-hmm. right? I need you to see me and to understand me and to love me and to accept me and receive me. It's, you know, and we do that with God. And we can do that with God, and we should.
In a similar way, something else you said, and then love to hear from Dr. Lillis. When you were in Phoenix, you texted me. I just passed over Thunderbird
and 19th,
which is where I first cried out to God.
Right.
Wow.
And I just said, God, help me. So when we get back from the break, we'll continue with Dr. Anthony Lillis, who's one of the best, not the best spiritual theologians alive today, talking about the interior life, what it means to know God, what it means to begin a life of prayer. If you want a resource, a free resource that we prepared for you to learn more about this that you can use in your own time, head out to spiritualdirection.com/pray. You'll be pleasantly surprised. We'll be right back. Hey, friends. If this show so far is inspiring to you and you want to learn how to enter more deeply into prayer, we have a book study coming up. Starts April 25th, 8 a.m. Central Time. We're going to be going through an amazing book called Remain in Me and I and You, Relating to God as a Person, Not as an Idea, by Father Wayne Sattler. You can go to spiritualdirection.com/book study to sign up for that. It costs exactly nothing. Hope to see you there. Also, I want to tell you about a course we have at the Avalon Institute called Purifying Your Fiat, Let Your Yes Be Yes and No Be No. It's a powerful exploration of the understanding of boundaries from a Catholic perspective regarding the interior life and saying yes to God and boundaries with other people, going deeper in self-awareness. You need to apply by May 4th. And these courses are going to be Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, taught by Ann Vernick. You can go out to avila-institute.org to sign up. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. Back again with the super Dr. Anthony Lillis, one of the best theologians on two legs with a pulse right now, spiritual theologians. And so before the break, Anthony, do I need to repeat the question?
No, I think we got it. This is this mental prayer. What is it and how do you do it?
Great.
Yeah, I love what Stephanie was saying about the opening up of your heart and just to put the emphasis back on, you know, we received Jesus suffered, died, and rose from the dead to send us the Holy Spirit. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, praying for this gift to come in us. And so what you described, Stephanie, in terms of pouring out your heart, the reason why that actually was heard by the fathers because it was the Holy Spirit working in those desires in your heart. And some of them get purified, some of them are healed, and some of them become this most beautiful offering to him and he hears them and he treasures them. He actually enjoys, it causes him delight when we give him our hearts. And because why? He's offering his heart. And so you could say that mental prayer is nothing other than a heart to heart with the Lord who loves us. It's a,
and that's a quote from Teresa of Avila, isn't it? Or is that Therese? That's Teresa.
I think that's Teresa. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it of all these little nuggets in my head about mental prayer, but speaking of Teresa of Avila, one of the most beautiful things that I have ever read, you know, regarding her relationship with the Lord is in a vision, the Lord says to her, I would create the world again just to hear you say, I love you.
Hmm. Wow. And,
I mean, that, and that's for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't just particular to Teresa of Avila. Of course, she was amazing and, mm-hmm. and a saint, and she has this incredible relationship with the Lord. But he desires that from everyone. He would create the world again just to hear Dan and Anthony and Stephanie and Maggie and every listener here say, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you and I trust you and I want to be near you, right?
Awesome. Awesome. Beautiful. Practical question next is how to start. And, you know, I was recently just studying again because I teach a class called Foundations of Prayer and Union with God at the Avila Institute. And so I'm studying the conversation between Jesus and the disciples, because what happened was, of course, they're all practicing Jews and they would pray the Psalms and pray their Hebrew prayers, normal stuff for those who weren't priests. And they were doing that, but he would go off for hours and hours. And I think it caused them I could just see their brows furrowed. Like, what is he doing? What is he spending all this time doing? And so, of course, then they come to him. They work up the nerve or just decide together, let's go ask him. And they say, Lord, teach us to pray, which is just such a beautiful sentiment, you know? It's like, what?
Teacher.
Yeah, what do you do? Like, you're special. Mm-hmm. You're different than any man we've ever met. There's something going on with you and the Father we don't understand.
And we long for it.
Right, right.
We see it in you and we want that too.
And God put that longing in their heart, right, as he does in every person's heart. Mm-hmm. So then he begins to instruct them. And I want to say the negative part and have you say the positive part, Anthony. The negative part is he says, don't pray like the pagans do. You know, he said, don't pray like the Pharisees standing out in the public square, you know, referencing another scripture, an allusion to another scripture where he says, you know, thank God I'm not like all these losers. And then, so he said, don't pray like them, go pray in private and in secret, right? Then he says, don't pray like the pagans. What does that mean? Well, don't think that by just a multitude of words, God will be heard. God will hear you. It's way deeper than that. So then where does he go, Dr. Lillis?
Well, and then he teaches us the Our Father, and going back to Teresa of Avila, she actually writes a whole book on how the Our Father is like the threshold into mental prayer. If we pray the Our Father with our heart, that praying that prayer can actually open up the door to a deeper mental prayer that takes you to the heights of mystical union. But it's hidden. This beautiful gift of prayer is hidden in the frailty of these very simple words, seven petitions that he puts together that begins with the cry to the Father, Our Father. That cry speaks of a relationship in our heart. In other words, in Jesus's prayer, unlike the pagans, relationship to the Father comes first. Mm-hmm. If you want to pray like Jesus, you need to pray in his sonship.
Amen. And so people are going to be asking, what book?
It's
The Way of Prayer. The Way of Perfection, I'm sorry. That is what she's talking about. So now, so for the newest person, they're going, okay, I know the Our Father. What do you want me to do with that? You know, and I think, of course, you could pick up The Way of Perfection and read how she unpacks it. St. Francis of Assisi does something much more brief. But for me, the way I've prayed this prayer in mental prayer time is that you don't just recite it, which is what Jesus is railing against that the pagans do, is just saying a bunch of words. Mm-hmm. You're talking to a friend. So you sit down and you invoke you say, Lord, thank you for allowing me to be with you. Or, oh God, come to my assistance, Lord, make haste to help me. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, acknowledge his presence and consider him looking at you, right? Consider him looking at you and you look at him. And obviously you can't do this while you're driving. You can't do this while you're doing your air traffic controller job or whatever. This has to be inside, in quiet, by yourself in a prayer space. And just say, our Father, my Father, you know, hallowed be your name. And I think, you know, I think of what Donald Trump recently did, you know, putting himself in the place of Jesus, which is so horrifying. And rather than lifting up the name of God, even if he was joking or whatever, it's so blasphemous. That's evil. And instead saying, hallowed be your name, Lord.
Your name, Lord.
Your name. May your name be praised. May your name be held in esteem, first in my heart and then in the world. And in this case, I'm sorry for what happened this last week, how horrifying it is. And I'm sorry for the bad shape we're in, that something that like that could ever come from the President of the United States. You know, Lord, have mercy on us. Thy kingdom come, Lord.
Here, now.
Yeah.
We need you.
Yeah.
Right?
And thy kingdom come in my heart. Rule
right. The
domain that is me and all that you've given me to care for. Be work in me to affect everything I've been assigned to, every person I've been asked to love, that your kingdom is manifest in all of that. Dr. Lillis, am I on track with how we can make that prayer, mental prayer, if you will?
Yeah, no, this is what you were just saying. It's really powerful. Catherine of Siena says the two foundations for growing in prayer is knowledge of God, but also knowledge of self. And what you're talking about is realizing who I am before God. There was a great spiritual writer named Metropolitan Anthony Bloom. He is an Orthodox. And he said, we should always approach God with a kind of fear and trembling, realizing that we're not God, we're not worthy. We don't deserve to come into his presence, but he's invited us into his presence. And so when you take stock of who you are and you own who you are before God, you love him as your Father. He's revealed himself to you as your Father, but you also realize there's stuff that needs to change in my heart, and only he can fix me. Only he can save me. This is this relationship. You know, again, Stephanie, going back to your alabaster jar, which you shattered before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, you know, probably if I use words like fear and trembling, that wasn't something you were conscious of. But at the same time, that was the whole context of the prayer that you offered, was you had a sense of who you were before God and your unworthiness, and a sense, some kind of sense that God has the answer, and that he loved you enough to want to give you the answer if you asked him. And so there's one more aspect in this that you've touched on, Dan, that I think is absolutely important. Not only is there fear and trembling, but there's also incredible, audacious confidence. You know, you are daring to call God Father, notwithstanding who you are, what you've done, because you are confident in the love of God.
Mm-hmm. Can we continue through the prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But you had something on your heart, Steph.
Well, I was just reflecting on the book of Esther. If you read her and study how she approached, like, her story is the way that is just exactly what Dr. Lillis is talking about. Now she's trepidatious. She doesn't know how to do this. If I approach him, I could be killed.
The king. She had to approach the king because somebody was coming against the Jews.
Right. And so, but she knows she has to. Mm-hmm. She knows this is the answer. So she dresses, she lowers herself, she goes in, you know, she puts herself basically at the mercy of God, at the mercy of the king in this situation. And it blesses her. She is saved and her people are saved through it. It's just a beautiful reflection on how we can also put ourselves together to prepare ourselves to approach the Lord.
Excellent.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've got about a minute left. I think what I want to do is just remind folks of a few resources. If this is like prompting your heart, like, yeah, this is beautiful. I want that in my life. Mm-hmm. I want to know the Lord. I want to be known by him. We have this upcoming study, Remain in Me and I in You. It costs nothing. Relating to God as a person, not an idea, where we're going to meet on the second and fourth Saturdays, starting April 25th at 8 a.m. Central. And we're going to have a conversation through this beautiful book.
An amazing book.
Yeah. Written by Father Sattler. And then he's agreed to do a drop-in for us for Q&A at some point. But you can have access to this by going to spiritualdirection.com/bookstudy. spiritualdirection.com/bookstudy. As well, we have a film series that you can watch before, during, or after that called Into the Deep. It's about this very topic, mental prayer. It's made for parishes, small groups, or your bedroom, whatever works. spiritualdirection.com/pray, but all of this can be found out there. And then, of course, if you want to go deeper, if you're beyond the basics and you've done this before, check out anything that Dr. Lillis has written is going to take you beyond that point. Named for Glory is his latest book, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, Identity and Mission. Dr. Lillis, thank you for being with us today.
It's been a gift. Thank you, Dan and Stephanie.
Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.